But just what are some of the challenges facing the ecumenical dialogue between Eastern and Western churches? Archbishop Demetrios of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America is spokesman for the Patriarchate in Istanbul during Pope Benedict's visit. He calls the Pope's decision to make the trip, despite threats to his life, a daring expression of love towards the goal of Christian unity.
This meeting, because of the conditions and the daring and bold step that it signifies, it has an increasing impact on creating this climate, as we say, of more trust, more willingness, more softening of some sort, some strong and sharp lines, this type of thing.
Pope Benedict has, of course, stressed that the search for unity is one of the most important aspects of his pontificate. Mm-hmm. How important is this ecumenical journey, this search for unity? How important is it to most people within the Orthodox world, do you think?
I think it's a basic thing for people who are familiar with the basics of the gospel. The demand by the Lord Christ for unity, and unity that it's important because the unity there, Christ speaks about the Christians being one as we, you Father and myself, are one. It's a strong theological basis for unity. And then also he emphasized the fact that through the unity, the glory and the truth of God would be proclaimed. So this is a sine qua non factor in the proclamation of the Christian gospel today. You cannot really, being divided, have the full strength that the gospel has. So this, for people who are Christians and feel the command of the Lord, it's a very strong thing. Now, they are aware of a separation for almost 1,000 years. This cannot be done. Some over-optimistic people, a little bit naive thinkers, they say, oh, let's have a dialogue and we finish. We don't finish with a dialogue. We need considerable time. And for theologians, we need an engagement, a strong engagement in a serious dialogue, which will produce results. We have this experience in the States. In the States, the dialogue between Roman Catholics and Orthodox never stopped, in contradistinction to what happened to the international dialogue. Never stopped. Now, it not only never stopped, it produced results. There is a very, very nice document on the Filioque, which shows a very clear progress, theologically speaking, in facing a theological issue which has been central in the division of the two churches. They also issued other statements about baptism, validity of sacraments. So that shows that with a systematic, persistent, honest work, results could come. Therefore, we think that this is now something in the minds of the Orthodox people, something that raises the expectation of more systematic, more persisting, and therefore more hope-producing dialogue among the churches.
You've touched on some of the theological questions which have traditionally divided the Roman Catholic and the Orthodox world. What do you see really as the most serious, outstanding obstacles on this ecumenical journey?
We could say we have three level of references here in obstacles. One are the obstacles of purely theological nature. One of them is the Filioque, for instance, the teaching about the Holy Spirit. There might be some Mariological issues, the Immaculate Conception, although this is a debatable theological issue, it's not like the Filioque, but yet it is something. You might also have some understandings about the specifics in the sacraments. Number two, level two, is the ecclesiological level, the primacy of the Pope, the infallibility of the Pope. For the Orthodox understanding, the supreme governance of the Church is conciliar, is the synod, is all the bishops convening in the Holy Spirit and working together, and whatever the issue then becomes the infallible. It's not the one person pronouncing. So here is what we call ecclesiology. It deals with the nature of the administration of the church, the way the church proceeds in pronouncing and explaining, interpreting the truths of the gospel. And there is a third level of issues, more practical and more visible. And this is the existence of the unitism. The unitism, which became a strong issue after the change in Eastern Europe. This was before that, we know that. But after the change, it became a pronounced issue. In fact, it caused the stopping of the dialogue, in essence. It was one of the major issues, because all of a sudden they said, what are we talking here about dogmatics and other things? Here we have a burning issue like this. And unless we have something, clear steps here on the part of the Roman Catholic Church, said the Orthodox representation, we cannot really continue. So it was a serious issue, and still is. And it's something that is, in a way, it causes internal, sometimes, might cause internal problems, even within the Roman Catholicism. When you have, for instance, in the Uniate Church, a following of the Byzantine liturgical practices. That's one thing. They recognize the Pope as the authority, but they have married clergy. If married clergy exists within the Roman Catholic Church, then marriage or celibacy is not an absolute thing. You can imagine how this goes to the depth of the foundations of some ecclesiological positions, like the eternal nature of priestly celibacy. And they say, what eternal relation? I mean, if you have the units, this is not at all absolute. Not to talk about the Orthodox Church, which is an example of this rule. There is not a rule in existence. So you have this issue of the unitism, which, because it involves a considerable amount of population in Ukraine, and also in Middle East, we have the Melkites and other people like that.
You're talking about these political, historical differences that have been the reason behind this fracturing in the Christian community. But as you say, this weakens our witness to the gospel today.
Absolutely.
What gives you most hope?
There is a need here. The need is imperative. It's not simply a need. It's an urgency. In fact, some people would say it's an emergency. So my hope is that exactly because of the major problems that we face today, that we will increase also our way of cooperation, and without forgetting that beyond the practical reasons and the reasons of love and charity and pain, we have also the permanent non-stopping command of the Lord that we have to be one.
Metropolitan Archbishop Demetrios is spokesman for the Patriarchate in Istanbul during Pope Benedict's visit.